It's here and now. Conferences, websites, and countless articles have been popping up as the music world celebrates the coming centennial of The Rite of Spring, first performed almost 100 years ago in Paris, May 29, 1913. The ballet was choreographed by the legendary Nijinsky. The dancing, so scandalous, the crowd rioted. In fact, the audience noise was so loud, nobody, even the dancers, could even hear the music, which was composed by the legendary Igor Stravinsky. But that music, once heard, was also earth-shaking. Now that debut is being called the single most important moment in the history of 20th century music. We want to have our own 100th birthday celebration with Boston Globe classical music critic Jeremy Eichler. Jeremy, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
And Harvard professor of music Thomas Kelly, who wrote about the premiere of Stravinsky's work in his book, First Nights, Five Musical Premieres. Welcome to you as well.
Thanks.
Let's talk about the music. You quote a Cocteau in 1918 saying that the work was and remains a masterpiece, symphony impregnated with savage pathos, earth in the throes of birth, panting cattle, prehistoric Georgics. That's a form of poetry. I mean, that's quite something.
That is quite something, and it's such an old piece. It's coming up on 100 years, and there are a lot of people who still think it's ugly. It's pounding, repetitive. It has harmonies that nobody had ever heard before, and some people never want to hear again. I think it's one of the most beautiful pieces of music in the world.
Jeremy, talk about that, the music. Why is it so stirring?
I think it has to do with the fact that Stravinsky's taking what's really the most sophisticated instrument that was available at that time, the modern symphony orchestra, and he's using it to depict the most savage and barbaric of pagan rituals, which, you know, at its core, let's remind ourselves, this is a story of a young woman, sort of imagined from prehistoric Russia, a young woman dancing herself to death. It's that tension that I think is part of what makes the work stick with us.
Let's listen to some of the moments of this story. The Rite of Spring in two parts. The first, the adoration of the earth, where the young people gather and dance. The second part involves the sacrifice you just mentioned, the young girl chosen and sacrificed. But I know, Tom Kelly, you want to talk about even just those first few notes. Why was this bassoon so disturbing?
People say in the darkened hall, a single note, you can barely tell whether the piece has begun because it's a really long note, and that's a higher note than any bassoon had ever been asked to play before, and nobody could tell what instrument it was, and the sound it plays, which is not any scale that we know. You start right off saying, I'm in some other world.
And then when the other instruments come in, it's not as if anything's continued in any kind of linear sense. You sort of have these kinds of instruments sort of calling out into the darkness.
Right, it's kind of tendrils and the jungle grows.
Exactly, sort of from opposing treetops or something.
Absolutely.
Well, then there's the glorification of the chosen one. This is from the second part. This is when the young girl is selected. What strikes you about this music?
Well, that's the dance that begins with these huge 11 chords. It's like Stravinsky beating the orchestra like a drum. Then begins this dance that is full of little tiny patterns. It's only like five different sounds, but put together like a mosaic. But it's so angular, and the rhythms come out to be so irregular that even though you say, everything I'm hearing here, I've heard before, and I'm going to hear again, nevertheless, it seems completely jagged. It's a dance that all the women of the tribe dance in a circle around the woman who has just been chosen from their number to be this year's sacrificial victim.
Yeah.
in a live performance that's a really rugged one, you feel this music in your body in a way that was completely different than the music that had preceded, thinking of even of late Romantic symphonies of Brahms or something like that. But the other aspect is the complexity of that rhythm. On the one hand, it's elemental. On the other hand, Stravinsky, he's throwing in these weird accents, these kind of jagged moments where even when you think that you're feeling the groove, all of a sudden you have no idea where you are. You can imagine how difficult it must have been to dance to. Tom, what was the story about the bassist who got these parts and was completely just mystified and couldn't actually imagine that Stravinsky had actually intended what he was reading on the page?
People kept asking, stopping the rehearsal, saying, "Maestro, my note can't be right. I'm playing a B-flat, and my neighbor's playing B natural. What on earth is going on?" And finally, after a lot of interruptions, the conductor said, "Stop asking me. If you have a wrong note, I will tell you."
It's disturbing, but can you pick a part that we can listen to where it's also beautiful?
Oh, sure. The spring rounds, the beautiful thing starts with the world's lowest bass note, and then you have this kind of very, very slow vamp, and then you have a melody that very, very, very slowly grows out of the texture. But it takes a long time for it to develop.
Now it's been embraced by everyone. Jeremy, just one last thought. When it's on a performance program, do you find yourself thinking, this is either going to be a caricature of what was an exciting piece, or let me see if someone can play this anew?
I think it's one of those pieces that in a way carries its own freshness within it, because it's that kind of music that just cannot be tamed or domesticated. If you think of something like Beethoven Symphony No. 9, I mean, any beginning piano student is given Ode to Joy. There are the sound bites of Beethoven's Fifth. Right, exactly. And, try humming The Rite of Spring. What you do find, though, is that because it's become so famous, the players in orchestras are learning and mastering these licks from the very beginning of their professional training. And so it's become this kind of virtuosic showpiece for orchestras. So I think in a way that is the challenge of a modern performance, is to restore a little bit of the kind of shock and the urgency and the sheer exhilaration that must have been present at those first performances.
100 years ago this May, we are talking about Stravinsky's Rite of Spring, which does mark its 100th anniversary, its performance in Paris in 1913. We've been talking with Boston Globe classical music critic Jeremy Eichler and Harvard music professor Tom Kelly. Thank you both so much for talking to us about it.
Thank you. Thank you.
And even though we have scary music, we'd like to give a big welcome and take a couple of seconds to do it. We're going to need it. To new listeners at the stations of South Carolina Educational Radio, WNSC-FM Rock Hill, WLJK-FM Aiken, WRJA-FM Sumter, WHMC-FM Conway, and WJWJ-FM in Beaufort. We really didn't mean to scare you. I think we got everybody. Thank you so much for listening. We see at your website we're in esteemed company. We hope to earn your ears on a daily basis. I'm scared. Here Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us to see what the week brings. Here Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.